1 o'clock hour here on this Monday edition of Darren Donick and Chase talking with TD. That's what we're doing. That's what he does every week on his podcast. Ron Davenport joins us, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, ESPN.com. And we just played you a good portion of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel talking to the media today in preparation for the draft that begins on Thursday evening. Teron, how you doing?
Hey, always good, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
You hanging in there?
Oh, yeah, man. Like I say all the time, man, I woke up this morning, so I already won.
There you go. Starting off on a positive note. I like it. So there was a little bit of a glitch with Mike Vrabel, and I know had a little fun with that. But in all seriousness, and I know they're trying to go through some mocks here this week and some trial runs. It's no different than a band going out there and rehearsing, right, before a concert. That's fine. And everything may go off without any glitches this week leading up to Thursday. But do you think because of the unusual circumstances that how much of a storyline do you think it'll be in the draft, or do you think it will be a storyline whatsoever? Do you think it will happen to a general manager or a team?
No, I don't think it's going to be a storyline because I think they're all well-equipped. John Robinson said he has, what, three Microsoft services and an iPad. I'm sure he has multiple phone options. And end of the day, we have to remember, they're picking rosters, right? Like, they're not trying to send a rocket to outer space. So it's something that they'll be able to do. I think they'll work through it just fine.
Yeah, but we've all had our TV freeze up, and wouldn't that be, you know, that would not be good. With the 16th pick in the draft, the Saints select, and, you know, they're sitting there, their general manager is in freeze mode. That would be weird. But, by the way, how do you think it's going to look? I mean, that's the intriguing part to me is how this is going to play out on television.
Yeah, I really wonder how it is going to play out. I think it's going to be a really good production because you have two top-notch organizations, you know, in ESPN and NFL Network coming together to make this thing happen. So I think it's going to go fine. I have full confidence that it's going to be entertaining. And you know what? Even if it does have a glitch, it's one of those things where it happens. Like when you cough on the air, you cough, you move through it, and it's forgotten. So I think really the main objective is just going to be to keep pressing forward regardless of what happens.
Have you been told how are they going to use their NFL Nation reporters during the course of the draft starting on Thursday?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm sitting in my upstairs attic studio recording my pick right before I jumped on the call with you guys. So we're going to have an NFL Nation mock draft. That'll be up tomorrow, I believe it is. And then during the draft, we'll be on the Shortstop app. You know, anybody that subscribes to the Titans page, which you should do if you haven't on ESPN.com, click NFL, click Teams, click Titans and subscribe. But we're going to go on Shortstop and we'll have a quick video after the pick if we disagree with it or who we think they should have picked. And then before then, we'll be kind of active on that app as well, in addition to obviously social media. And then you could check on ESPN.com. We're going to have continuous what the pick means, you know, those type of things, like reaction posts to the we'll have a running log, so to speak, of the draft picks.
What did you make of what's a couple of things that stood out to you with today's 40-45 minute discussion with the media?
Well, for me specifically, I asked about the corners, so I was just paying attention to the answers about that. I thought it was interesting in that John Robinson said that maybe it is Adoree Jackson that bumps inside and plays the nickel. And this is something that I said last week on talking with TD, so I thought that was an interesting comment. And then just the fact of what they're looking for in cornerbacks, right? They mentioned how they want versatility. They want guys that can match up against speed tight ends. I thought it was a really good point that Vrabel made when he said that it's different now, whereas guys aren't just threatening the field horizontally. They're running vertical routes out of the slot. So it kind of gives you a good idea of what it is the Titans are looking for in corners. I think that was definitely a highlight. Definitely had the nugget about Jadeveon Clowney, right? And the door isn't closed on that, but they haven't inched forward to any more closure there as far as sealing the deal. So those were a couple of things that stood out to me.
Daron Davenport is with us. Daron, I was taken by that as well, and it's a logical answer that, you know, you're drafting not knowing how the Clowney thing is going to play out at some mm-hmm. point. But it seemed to me, putting that together and talking about Jeffrey Simmons and in the context of the Jarrell Casey trade, that John Robinson seems pretty content with what he's got on the defensive line right now, even if they don't end up with Clowney.
Yeah, it seems that way, but, I mean, make no mistake about it, there are guys in this draft that could come in and help. And then in addition to that, you have to look at Vic Beasley. They seem to feel like they could push the buttons and get the Vic Beasley that was the talented top 10 pick from 2015. So I agree with you. I think they are confident with where they are.
He also, I guess unsolicited or just kind of given the wide open field, what position do you think is the deepest? He said wide receiver. Do you agree? And were you surprised at all that he said that?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I agree. This wide receiver class is deep. From day one through day three, you could get guys that could come in and play. I mean, Kalijah Lipscomb is probably going to be a fifth or sixth round pick. And that guy is a baller, you know. So I agree with him. This is a deep class, and that's the way you don't always rate it by how many Julio Jones-type players you have. You rate it on how many contributors, key contributors, that you could get deeper in the draft. And this is one where it's an abundance of guys.
You mentioned Kalijah, and I've been curious about this because it was a challenging year for any skilled player on the Vanderbilt team. They had a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. They had issues at quarterback, and it certainly affected the production of Kalijah Lipscomb, Pinckney, and everybody. So that being said, I know there was a game where Kalijah was mysteriously not playing, benched, whatever you want to say. They didn't say anything publicly about it, but give me your overall evaluation of him. You seem to be pretty positive about him. He had some great moments there, and I know he's been training a lot with Tua over at the D1 complex.
Yeah, no, I agree. When you look at Kalijah Lipscomb, the thing I like is position versatility, right? He could help you out in the return game, but he's someone you can move around. He could do a lot of work out of the slot. He could line up outside. I think he runs really good routes. He catches most passes with his hands, which is a key thing. And I like his movement skills. And then you look at the size of 6'1", 200 pounds. He's a guy that has the power to run through tackles. Go ahead and watch. Actually, on Talking with TD, we had Christian Fulton on. And there's a play where he kind of ran through a Christian Fulton tackle on a slant and then worked his way into the end zone for a touchdown. So for me, you know, when I look at him, I think you get a complete player. He's not one of those guys that's going to wow you in shorts and a T-shirt. But that's fine because you're paying them to play football. And Kalijah Lipscomb is a football player, in my opinion.
We're talking to Taron Davenport of ESPN, covers the Titans for them, talking with TD and in the football season, chasing TD as well. A guy that you have mentioned quite a bit when we've talked to you is offensive tackle Lucas Niang from TCU. And I have seen, you know, mock drafts now, and I saw Eric Bacharach of the Tennessean did a mock draft this morning and has the Titans taking him in the third round. I've seen some nuggets from you on him as well. Why is he somebody that you think would be a fit?
Yeah, well, I think if you look at him, he's probably a guy that would be in that 61, around that range, you know, their second round pick. To me, he is definitely a fit, and he's one of those guys where you really have to watch film to understand what he brings to the table. Because if you look at this past season, 2019, It was decent, but if you go back to 2018, pre-injury, then you got a guy who is a first-round talent. And I'll give you a quick example. Chase Young said he was one of the best guys he faced. Chase Young, we know the deal with him. He's going to be a top-three pick. So for him to show that much respect for a player like Niang, I definitely speaks volumes. But then when you look at him being a taller guy, a longer guy, who gets his hands on pass rushers and keeps them from being able to get to the quarterback. You know, he's at that size, is able to drop back and really make it harder for them. He gives them more of an obstacle to go around to get to the quarterback. So there's definitely a plus there. I think you're getting a guy who is someone that is willing to work hard and always looking for improvement. He set a goal coming into this past season on becoming a better run blocker, and he did get better, and he's athletic. You talk about a guy getting to the second level and making those blocks. He brings a lot there. So, I mean, I think the appeal for him is you're getting a first-round talent in the second round.
What did you make about it? And John Robinson brought this up today. I think John Glennon asked the question of the offensive line and tackle specifically, and that, you know, there may not be as many available, and so that could alter what the plans are because the Titans look at that as a position of need.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right in saying that, you know, there are a group at the early part of it that are really good, but there's I think that's a group where you have some depth as well, to be honest with you. And I think the fact that he mentioned, you know, they made some moves to solidify their right tackle position, I think that definitely, you know, tells you where they are. I don't think they're looking at a definite starter in this draft. If a guy's there, they'll pick him. But I don't think that that's something that, you know, they're coming in like, hey, we need a starting right tackle. If a guy that can come in and compete and you know, take that job from Dennis Kelly next year is there, I think they'll take them. And I think that's why Lucas Niang is such a guy that's appealing to them.
We've talked a lot about running backs and obviously the need for another running back. But a guy that I know that I don't think I've asked you about yet, LaMichael Perine from Florida. What are your thoughts on him as you've looked at him?
Yeah, he's a tough runner, man. I saw him at the Senior Bowl and watched him in pass pro, watched him just an inside run where there is just running the ball. You know, it's basically five on six. And, yeah, he's appealing. But the thing is with him, he could catch the football too. I mean, he wasn't asked to do it a lot, but he could definitely catch the rock out of the backfield. And although he didn't run a super fast 40, he has some explosiveness to him as well, because, I mean, he has some longer runs on his resume. So he's a good pick. I think he will be there right in that range with, you know, like a Patrick Taylor, a Keyshawn Vaughn, those type of guys. So we're talking, you know, a fourth, fifth round. I think those guys will all be there, and he's one of the ones to consider.
All right, Teron, thanks for the update. Good talk, and it's going to be a fun week. Hey, we've got something live to talk about this week.
Yeah, for sure. And, hey, make sure you guys tune in to Talking with TD. We have a stacked show this week. It just went up today. You got Antoine Winfield Jr. You got Patrick Taylor out of Memphis. You got Terrell Lewis, who, if you listen to the show, he'll tell you that he met with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. So tune in to hear what he had to say about that. And, oh, yeah, we got LSU corner Christian Fulton. We wanted to end with a bang. All of those guys met with the Titans, so you get to hear that in that show.
Wow, that's out right now?
It's up right now.
I like it.
Not now, right now.
Right now. Let me ask you this real quick, loaded question. What's going to be a surprise, in your opinion? Just one thing that's going to get our attention on Thursday. How would you answer that?
From a Titans perspective?
Well, just – It could be whatever, however you want to answer. It's very open-ended. What's the one thing from Thursday? Just one thing that we're going to go, wow. Because we always go, wow, at the draft, right? How would you answer that for Thursday?
There's going to be six cornerbacks selected in the first round.
Wow. Are the Titans going to be one of them?
If they don't trade down, I firmly believe so. But regardless, there's going to be six.
Key phrase there, Teron, if they don't trade down.
Well, it seems like that was certainly the mood of the general manager today on that call. Appreciate it. We'll definitely check out the podcast, and we'll talk soon.
For sure. Appreciate it.
Talking with TD, you just heard it. A loaded guest list there on that podcast. Go check it out. NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com, Teron Davenport. We'll come back and discuss some of the things you heard on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game.